It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, thanks for joining me on this week's edition of the show. This week, we are catching up with Matt Walsh, frontman of 3 Days Grace. We're going to talk about the new single from 3 Days Grace, how they put the new album together. We'll get into a little bit of Canadian music controversy, some Star Wars talk, gaming talk. We cover a lot. So without further ado, here is the frontman for 3 Days Grace, Mr. Matt Walsh.
So the new album that's on the way was kind of pieced together virtually, right? You guys were separated. Did you like doing it that way, or did you kind of miss having the guys around to kind of direct you maybe?
There's nothing like being in person with everybody and writing around a circle and like riffing out that way. With the times that we've had, we had to, you know, make a choice. Either we didn't write or we wrote and found a way to do it. So, right here in my, I have like a little studio behind my house that used to be, it actually used to be a dog, days in, like a dog hotel back in the day. So I changed it into a studio and, I got Zoom here and then like a recording program. And then our drummer, Neil, has his program up. So we work off his session, but we can actually hear what he's doing through our Pro Tools rigs and stuff too. So whatever he's doing in his session, we can hear. I can send him vocals from here. We made it work and it was efficient, but then like the rest of the record, we actually got together, the three of us, and then had Barry on Zoom. So that, I feel like that was more natural to what we used to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's gotta be weird, right? Like you're doing a vocal and maybe you're used to Neil or somebody going, Hey, Matt, no. And then you're just kind of doing it. And I know you kind of pipe in during Zoom, but it's a bit different.
It is. But like once I send him like my vocal, he just throws it into the session and then we can all hear like we're in the same spot. It's pretty awesome. Like the technology that's out there now.
And I mean, even though you're the new guy, it's been like almost 10 years.
Yeah.
You guys have probably gelled to the point where you can do it knowing Neil's going to want me to sing it like this or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like we know what to do kind of when it comes to that kind of stuff. But just coming up with the parts and stuff, we made it work for what we did. And it turned out really well.
And the new single, So-Called Life, lyrically, it sounds very pandemic inspired. Is there more to it than that, though, or was it strictly just pandemic?
Oh, for sure that there's more to it. I feel like, everybody needs something to take the edge off once in a while. Like, you know, life just gets too much. We either do something or take something or drink something to make life a little bit more enjoyable. And like, I feel like when that chorus hits, it feels like, you know, a Friday evening when you're getting home and like, just like, you know, cracking a cold one or like, you know, just the week is done. And it feels like party time almost. So, yeah.
And this one probably destined to be another number one hit for you guys on the rock charts. And you have this kind of back and forth with Shinedown over who has the most number one hits. Is this friendly or is there trash talk back and forth?
Oh, no. Like those guys are super supportive of us when because we were on a co-headlining tour with them back in 2012. When I joined the band and, it was kind of a shock to them too, because they were co-headlining with 3 Days Grace. And now the singer had changed and, Brent Smith from Shinedown was like super supportive, came out saying, you know, we just want to put on a great concert. We support these guys and what they're doing. So, if that band would have been turned around and been like, you know what, we don't want to do this tour, you know, your camp has changed and like that kind of thing, then that wouldn't have happened. And, it would have been a big blow to the band, but, you know, they were super supportive. We went on tour with them. We had pyro. They had a ton of lights. We'd love to get back on tour with them and just play hits. You know, it's a great, great combination.
It'd be a night of number ones because you can't go back and forth. And I mean, I've interviewed Brent a few times. He is a salt of the earth guy, like just, But speaking of rivalries, this just popped up today, so I don't even know if you know about this yet. There's one brewing in the Canadian rock scene between Monster Truck and Danko Jones, because Monster Truck just did the new Kid Rock song.
I saw that.
And Danko is none too happy about it.
Oh, why?
Basically because of Kid Rock's political views.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
So I know it's probably new to you, but like, does that play into anything that you guys think about political views? Because Danko's pissed.
Oh, he is. That's funny. Yeah. No, man, like, I feel like that has become a thing now, like, where either you're left or right or what, like, you know, we each tend to just stay in the middle and listen to everybody. I feel like everybody's choosing sides and like, man, we don't care. Like, if you believe this, that's your thing. If you believe this, you know, like, at this point, it's like, yeah, we don't get into that. But I think that's cool. I'm interested to hear, like, when does that come out? It came out.
The Kid Rock tune, it came out on Friday, and it is, I will say, very old school Kid Rock. Like, if you liked the you know, Devil Without a Cause stuff, it's in that vein.
Yeah, but is it completely like Monster Truck song from a couple years back?
Yeah, it's Don't Tell Me How to Live, and Monster Truck is playing on it, and he's singing the chorus, and it's a real collaboration.
Yeah, Kid Rock, he's got a good voice, man. He's got this, like, raspy, like cool, like, it's almost old southern type rasp to it. I'm a big fan. I actually got to hang out with Bob a few times, which is pretty neat. I watched him fly a helicopter into Chad Kroeger, the singer Nickelback's yard, and land in the yard, and then come up to the studio, and he started listening to songs that we're working on for the old My Darkest Days stuff. So and then he played the Commodore in Vancouver, and we got to go hang out and party with him before and then watch his show. And it was a lot of fun.
That's a wild scene. Kid Rock helicoptering into Chad Kroeger. That's a wild scene, man.
And he flies. So he was actually piloting the thing with somebody else with him. But I remember him just landing right in the yard. And like, oh, Bob's here. Bob's here. And like, what am I actually doing this right now? Like, you know,
that is a really, like, what the hell is my life right now? Like,
man, there's been a lot of those over my career. It's been like, am I actually playing in front of 30,000 people right now? Like, is this happening? It's humbling, though. It's like, feels like a movie, you know,
a little bit. And we've got the new stuff coming, but you guys were busy because you did the Gotye cover, and then you did a thing with, like, Young Thug and stuff like that as well, which kind of came out under the radar, but it's really cool.
Yeah, like our friend, he's a producer named Big Head, and he actually did, he took a sample of one of our songs off the Human record, the first record I did with 3 Days Grace, and he took a sample, and a guy named Little Peep did a song over it with a guy named Little Tracy, but Little Peep ended up passing away. And the song, like, a lot of people dig the song. It's called Switchblades. And then we ended up writing with Big Head and working with him through this. So it was fun. Yeah, it was good to do something else. Well, you know, we're just chilling.
And the Gotye cover, why did you pick that tune? I mean, it's a very catchy song, but...
Honestly, I always loved that song, and I was bored one day, and I came out here, and I just picked up an acoustic and do that with some covers. Some people have never heard the stuff that I've done here, but like, I did that and just, like, you know, threw it together and sent it to the guys, and they're like, oh, that's cool, like, we should put, like, heavy guitars in it. And it just went from there, like, just having fun, like, being, like, bored and through COVID. And it turned out to be really, really good. So we ended up putting it on the radio and putting it out there for people. Yeah.
How often do you do that? Do you just kind of wander back into your old dog hotel and record a cover?
I've done it once in a while. Like, if I'm inspired, or like, I just, like, start playing it. Like, sometimes, like, I'll pick up the guitar and automatically start playing, like, an older song or like a new song that's on the radio, and just like, oh, I might as well try. And sometimes it doesn't even, like, it starts, I get the verse done, and I'm like, ah, this ain't working. But then sometimes I'll record the whole song, and it will be like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, I did Every Breath, what's this police song?
Yeah, Every Breath You Take.
Yeah. I did a cover of that nobody's heard yet. And it's really cool. Like I made it completely different. And yeah, I hope to someday get that out there.
I was going to say, so when do we get to hear it? Like you can't
take
that and just be like, oh, you know, I got it here, whatever.
Yeah, it kind of just sits. And then like, you know, if it ever comes to a time where we're like, oh, we need a cover. Or, how about this? Or, yeah.
That'd be cool to hear. You should just release a covers album.
Like, you know, a lot of people over the pandemic started doing that, like a lot of covers. And I think we were jumped into that too, because it's just like, oh, what do? Like, you know,
So I was going through your Instagram a little bit to try to find something to ask you about. And I noticed back at the beginning of the pandemic, you did like one of those face plants over Joe Exotic.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen the follow up, the Tiger King 2 that's hit Netflix now?
I just saw that it was on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet. No,
I binged it over the weekend. It's not as crazy as the first one, but it's worth a watch. I will say that.
Oh, okay. Is it based on the same people as the first?
Yeah, I mean Joe's in jail, so I mean, yeah. There's that, and then there's another guy that I don't even think he was in the first one, but he's nuts. It's just a weird scene. You're just sitting back watching it, going, "How do these people live?"
Yeah,
like it's very wild.
Yeah, you'd have to be.
Yeah, it's definitely, it'll be good for the tour bus. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
I know you're a gamer too. What are you playing right now?
I play Fortnite now. I years ago, I was like, I'm not going to get into this game. It looks super childish. And then I started playing it. And now I go to other first person shooter games and it's just not as intense. And I can't, like, in Fortnite, you can build around you. And like, so every time I'm getting shot in all these other first person games, I'm trying to build in front, like to block the shots. And it doesn't happen in other games. So it's why these kids are all on it. It's extremely addictive and it's a very, like, it's a fun game. But like, I was a hater at first. I'm like, no, this is cartoonish. It's childish. And then you start playing it. It's like, oh, it's just fun.
My nephew is huge into it and he's bugging me to play it. And they get me, like, I haven't started yet, but when I see, like, 'cause I'm a huge DC Comics nerd. When I see the skins for like Batman, Harley Quinn and stuff, I'm like, well, now I kind of want to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
What skin are you using?
Right now I am Kylo Ren.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That actually leads into my next question, because I know you're a Star Wars fan as well. You got to be stoked for Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, that looks really good. Yeah.
I mean, it's a golden age to be a Star Wars fan. We're getting so much content.
I feel like, yeah, and it's gone back. It's nice. They've gone back to the original, like, look and feel, it seems like. I'm a fan of all the new stuff and, like, the, you know, the Force Awakens era type stuff. But, like, this, the last one, The Mandalorian, it was just so good. Like, the stories are good. The visual is so good. And they brought back all those old visuals and stuff. Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to be a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like it all. And I'm not ashamed to admit, at the end of Rise of Skywalker, when Chewie got Han's medal, I lost it. I was a weeping ball in the theater.
That's funny.
Thank you for joining me for this week's edition of the show. Don't forget, check out our YouTube channel. Sometimes you'll catch these interviews with videos there and all that. It's the Scotty Marsh Show on YouTube. Pop over there. You'll catch some more interviews and give us a like and a subscribe. And until we chat again, have a great week.